This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From 104.7 WHUP LP Hillsboro, this is She and Her. I'm Sandra Davidson.
And I am Anita Rao.
How's it going?
Good. Happy mid-November.
Wow, thank you. Happy mid-November to you, too.
It is. I'm already feeling that pre-holiday crunch.
Yep. Me too.
Where you're just like, I guess I'd prefer if it were just the beginning of January now.
Right. Right. The holiday parties are on the calendar.
Indeed.
Every weekend in December, pretty much booked.
It is.
Getting there. Do you have seasonal affective disorder?
I don't think I do. I'm around a lot of people that I see having it so intensely that I feel like I can tell that I don't. I think I just like, I really like being cozy.
Okay.
So, like, that, like, the joy that I feel about coziness, like, is just so much greater than the sadness I feel about the cold.
Okay.
The
but what about
sun.
The dark? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what gets me. I mean, I'm not a fan necessarily of the cold, although I have appreciated the relief from the heat.
Yeah.
And we just got back from a trip to Colorado together, and it was beautiful, and there was snow on the ground.
Yes.
And I didn't mind that, but... You know, we're sitting in the studio at 6 o'clock p.m. and it is pitch black outside.
I know.
And that really does make me feel, I think I'm afraid of the dark, actually.
That's fair. Durham is also really dark. Like, there's
yes.
there are very few streetlights. And so I feel like, as opposed to, like, Chapel Hill or other places where I've lived, it's like once the sun is gone, you're, like, in blackness.
Yeah. It's funny because my partner, most mornings, we both get up at this around the same time. I get up when he brings me a cup of coffee.
Well.
And he leaves before me, but he typically does our coffee making, and he also walks the dog. And I used to walk it with him, but now I don't. And part of my, in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't do that because usually it's dark when I get up, and I don't want to walk the dog in the dark by myself. So we don't take turns, but now it's light and I have less of an excuse. But I feel that way about night. Like when I get home from work, I'm like, God, I got to walk the dog quickly because it's getting dark.
I have. So my mom sent me a couple of years ago that I had never pulled out. And now I'm just proudly wearing this.
Blinkies?
Not blinkies. It's like a reflector, like straps, kind of like you'd wear like crossing guard. Pink.
Yes.
Reflector straps, like straps in the middle and goes up down the sides. But then I was realizing the other day, I was like, I don't think this is enough. So I think I'm about to get a straight-on, like, yellow vest.
Let me tell you.
And blinkies.
Yes. And I think that's a great idea. I actually had that thought just the other day. This is 30, everyone. This is 30.
We're like, how can we have more reflective wear?
Right. But I also have a – some might call it a collar. I call it a necklace for Link that is a blinky.
Yeah.
And I think you could also explore that for Ollie.
I need one of those.
A blinky for Linky.
A blinky. A blinky for Linky and a vest for Sandra.
Vest for Sandra and a collie for Ollie. Hey.
Hey.
That really doesn't work, but we're going to run with it. So we are doing something that we used to do all the time, haven't done in a while. But as you guys know, we're in the middle of a new season of
the
show.
Oh my
God.
Season. This is the season closer.
Guys, it's confusing because we record these out of sequence. So this is our final episode of the season, and we wanted to do a callback to a tradition that we have experimented with at She and Her, which is bringing on our moms. So in a few short moments, you will hear from Sheila and Rebecca. And we're going to ask them some questions about the season and about what is bringing them joy these days. So stay tuned, and we will be back soon with them ladies.
All righty.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to She and Her. And it is now the moment that you've all been waiting for, the return of the moms. So here we go. Rebecca, Sheila, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, we've got them.
Woohoo.
Congratulations.
I mean, it's always a question mark with us in this technology.
We know you love that, Mom.
Good job. Very good job.
Well, guys, it's so good to hear your voices on the air. Have you missed being regular guests on the show?
Yes, very much so. Well, it's a nice opportunity to hear your voices.
Oh, yes, I'll second that.
Wow, Mom, you're so good at that.
I thought you would appreciate that.
Literally the queen of low-key shade. You have quite a reputation, let me tell you.
Oh, man.
I don't think that is deserved. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't consider myself as a person prone to do that at all.
You're the person who weaponizes...
I don't have the capacity.
You're the person who weaponizes the word interesting unlike anyone I've ever met in my life. I'll say, oh, that's interesting.
Well,
I got something like that from my mother.
Oh, I see.
Let's see, what was it she used to say about someone that's an unusual person? I can't remember the term. It'll come to me.
Okay.
Probably after the show.
Well, so this is the last episode of our latest season. And actually today someone asked me to send them a resume for a grant application they're working on at my office. And I was updating the She and Her area of the resume. And when I was applying for my last job, which was over 2 years ago, I put, we've produced 30 episodes together, and now we're at over 70.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty wild.
Wow.
But
that is amazing, isn't it?
Yes. And we have lives.
Incredible.
Outside of this.
It's true. And jobs.
You're just getting in the flow now. So
that's right.
You found the magic.
That's right. Well, so you guys have heard most of our, I know, Sheila, you've probably heard all of our latest episodes. And Mom, I'm not sure where you are in figuring out the podcast app, but I know you like to listen live.
I'm not doing very well. So okay. When I see you next, you're going to have to help me.
Okay, I can do that. But we wanted to start this conversation off by finding out what episode or conversation that you've heard this season stands out to you the most.
Yeah, or even if it's just a particular moment in one of those episodes or conversations.
Okay. I'm ready. Whoever wants to go first, we can.
You go first.
Yeah, well, definitely for me, and I think this could be one of my all-time favorite episodes that you've done in the whole shebang. But Charlie Lowry, I think she's my soul sister.
Aww.
I love her. And I think the reason that episode, it really, really resonated with me, and because I just feel like her story and my story are a little bit similar. Like, she came from, you know, close family. She played with her cousins. They had Sunday lunch. Then her mom, you know, her mom passed away. My dad passed away. And I just, you know, something speaks to you, and she just spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, really enjoyed that. That particular episode epitomizes how you, too, have got the knack of really getting a person to tell their story and, you know, bringing us all in. I mean, I was bawling.
Aww.
Lipstick part. I mean, you know, the buttered rum and her mom wanted her to wear lipstick. I'm like, could you please ever stop?
Give us some relief.
My eyes out. It was such a good episode. So if she's ever around Augusta, she's very welcome at my house.
We'll tell her.
Sweet. Yeah. And her voice is great. I mean, she just has a very unique voice.
Well,
she says, be the queen of your own society. I mean,
I know.
She just said things like, you go, girl. It's such a true thing to say.
I know.
More power to you, Charlie Lowry.
I know. Well, I wish we could take credit for how good that episode was, but I think it's just Charlie.
It's just her. Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, you know, she's just so down to earth, like, no graces. You could just tell that she was such a genuine person. And I think, you know, that just came out, and that was just awesome.
Well, thank you. Mom, what about you?
Charlie Lowry.
Ah, the winner.
I loved that episode, and I just thought it was great. And the moment that just got me was buttered rum.
Yeah.
And I think there were... Oh, gosh, it was wonderful. And I agree with everything Sheila said. And also, she told her story without an ounce of self-pity.
Mm.
And that just is amazing to me, and especially in someone so young. I thought it was wonderful. I thought y'all did a wonderful job with it. I was like Sheila. I was tearing up. I just... thought it was great. And, you know, Sandra Catherine knows this, but I'm not a mystical, spiritual type person, but I do, mm-hmm. I do think the universe does things sometime. And the story about being at the performance and the lipstick, I just really was chill inducing. You know, it was just great. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Y'all did a wonderful job with it, and she is wonderful. And, gosh, I just hope everything works out for her health-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have been on StoryCorps and got – I mean, this was definitely a top 10 StoryCorps kind of story. It was super good. Super, super good. And, I'd love to see how she does. You know, like, we're interested in her. We wish her so well. We really do.
We haven't checked in with each of you in a while, so maybe tell us a bit about what you have been consuming media-wise that is really sticking with you. Book, movie, TV show, music?
Well, I am trying to avoid consuming too much news right now. I'm really trying to be careful about what I listen to and what I pay attention to and watch to curate it, I guess you could say. I was thinking about what I have been consuming that has really stuck with me. I've started reading more fiction, short stories. I'm trying to read short stories in The New Yorker because The New Yorker just piles up here.
Yes.
And it's really, really nice to sit down, read a short story, and then be able to put it down, and I don't have to stay awake that long. I don't have to keep coming back to it and reading two pages and then having to do something else. So I really enjoyed that. And I read a short story about 3 weeks ago by an author that I was not at all familiar with, as are many of the authors that I see in the New Yorker, and it just it struck such a chord with me because she was so descriptive in her depiction of the natural world, and it was just lyrical, and I just loved it, and it really put me back into a time when what I loved to read was books that had a lot of observations about the world and people. It was not so much in the third person or the first person and all internal. And it just, it really put me in a wonderful frame of mind. And I could smell the air. I could see what the light looked like. I could feel the way the grass moved when the wind blew. And I just loved it. Her name's Tessa Hadley. I think it's right, Tessa Hadley. And she's British. So I actually looked her up afterwards.
Shout out to Tessa Hadley.
That's great.
I'll have to dig through my New Yorker issues, which are also stacked up, to find that one.
Oh, they do. But there's so much good stuff in there.
How about you, Mom?
But that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, reading-wise, definitely a book that I stuck with and finished, which is unusual, was The Dutch House, which was a recommendation from you, Anita. And I really, really did enjoy that book. And loved the relationship between Maeve and Danny, the brother and sister. And I think she's a great storyteller. I enjoyed that a lot. And in terms of watching, I have not watched much TV. We're just addicted to Rachel. I thought it every night, Rachel Maddow. But I did watch one documentary that just blew me away just in the last few days. It was called One Child Nation. It's a story of the one-child policy in China.
Oh, wow.
And it is, it's so powerful, but at the same time distressing. But once you start watching it, you really have to watch it and figure out what's going on in the story.
Hmm.
So it was the prize documentary at the Sundance Festival this year. And I won't give you all the details, but it talks about the one-child policy from many, many, many different people's points of views. So from midwives who were forced to abort these ladies, and this one midwife in particular, she said, you know, these women who, you know, they had one child already and then they're pregnant and the state says they have to have an abortion. We would go to them and they'd be so upset that they'd take off all their clothes. So we're trying to chase a naked woman. And how do you hold on to a naked woman to get her and physically make her, you know, abort her baby? It's horrible.
Wow.
So she tells her story, and then she feels so bad about it, this old lady, this midwife, that she now tries to sort of, do things to ease her guilt because she feels so bad what she did. But she said, you know, I had no choice. The government forced us to do this.
Wow.
So that's one thread, and then it goes like that, like people who were picking up babies who were abandoned and then selling them, and those babies who were ultimately coming to the U.S. It was just a fascinating but sad, sad story. But I'm thinking about it quite a lot. It was so, so powerful.
Hmm.
So powerful.
My partner and I were looking nerdishly at population curves the other day because he's working on a project that is set in West Africa, and he was showing me how young the population of Nigeria is by looking at the population curve. And we were like, oh my God, let's look at Canada's, let's look at the UK's, and let's look at China. And you can see on their population curve when that policy went into effect.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty wild.
That's interesting.
It's really, it's a pretty wild documentary, but you have to be in a certain frame of mind to watch it. But anyway, I did watch that. So that's my media consumption.
Well, okay, so this would be a pivot then, because I don't know that documentary brought you joy. But but our next question for y'all is, what is bringing you joy in your life right now?
Well, for me, real, real simple things. Ginger tea, first thing in the morning, made very systematically. Ginger tea masala powder. 3 tea bags of one kind and then 1 other kind of tea bag.
That is quite a system.
Brewed, and then it has to be carried on a special little tray. Then Dad and I now have a little couch in our bedroom, so we're really fancy. And then we sit there and we have our tea and have a little chat at about 6, 10. It's very nice.
What do you chat about at 6, 10 in the morning?
What do we chat about? Well, we're getting ready to go to Australia and New Zealand, so we usually have looked at something and, like, should we book that? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Nothing profound. Stuff like that. We chatted today about Wikipedia. I know that's what we're talking about. We chat about Navi or about Nikki Leish or about you or anything. It could be anything, but we have, that's our little chat time in the morning, that time.
It sounds lovely.
We get very tired in the evening. By 8:45, we're just, like, so sleepy. We go to bed.
Yeah.
10 minutes of Rachel and you're fast asleep. Sign of old age. The other thing that gives me joy, every day Priyanka calls and I get to talk to Navi on FaceTime, and he will say, he pretends he has a phone in his hand and he puts his little hand up to his ear and he says, hi,
hi. Oh, it is so cute when he does that.
It's so cute. Honest to goodness. I mean, I'm biased, but he's just the best.
That's
Sheila,
cute.
Can I give you my number to give to them if you're not available?
Yes. Yes.
I can't say that we have a procedure as complicated and intricate and delicious sounding as Sheila's tea routine, but one thing is coffee every morning, and it's especially wonderful when your dad gets up first, which he usually does, and brings it to me, which he does most mornings. It's very unusual that I beat him to the coffee pot. So that is great. And I think the thing that is really making me feel joy right now is that I am anticipating having all my peeps in one place, spending time with you and your sister and Benjamin on the weekend and dad, and cooking and just enjoying being together. That's, you know, that's my favorite thing. That's my very favorite thing. And all of the animals will be there, and that's great. And I guess, yeah, it is. Well, it is. It is. And this is going to sound really silly, I suppose, but probably the most spontaneous, joyful experience I had in the last few days was our very old, not very well, not able to see well, not able to hear well, not able to know where he is all the time. Dog is so attached to your dad and wants to be wherever he is. Your dad whistled for him in the house over the weekend, and he got up and he ran in the kitchen, and he was so excited because your dad said, you want to go? Are you ready to go? Which means he's going to get to go in the car with him. And he was like a 12-week-old puppy for just Aww. About 10 or 15 seconds, and that was just, that was beautiful. It really was. That made me really happy. So that was nice. Yeah.
And you're going to be so joyful when you get yourself a puppy over the holidays.
Well, your sister brought that up yesterday, actually. So, yeah.
Great. I'm glad we're all on the same right page now. About that.
Well, no. We have to do what's best for Chester right now. He's going to be evaluated next Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
See if there's some medicine that can help his dementia.
Oh, Lord. Poor guy.
Yeah, but he's still chucking along. We're chucking along. So anyway, yeah.
Do you all have any questions for us you would like to pose?
Oh, I do have two questions for you. One is, who would be your top three guests, like your dream guests who you'd invite on the show? And I'll give you the two questions and you can answer them both at the same time. And then how do you see how do you see your future with the show? What are you guys thinking your plans are?
So rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire. Oh, and you know, I have
those are big picture questions,
by the way.
You what?
I forgot to say the poop episode was good too, but that was for me for familiar ground.
So. Yes.
Well, so we have been talking about our next season and are interested in bringing on women who we think of as role models or mentors in our respective career universes, which are somewhat similar. So that's sort of what we have in mind for the next round of episodes. And I'll say, I'll tell you one of my top three favorite guests that I hope to bring on for that season is the filmmaker Cynthia Hill, who is from rural North Carolina. She lives in Durham now. She does documentary work, and she's interested in getting into fiction work, but she is a self-taught filmmaker, has made a really successful series of shows and has centered a lot of her work in women's voices. And I have always admired her work. And I actually was introduced to her work in my very first folklore class ever in college and sort of led me to that universe. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to have her on the show, perhaps with one of her creative partners, a woman named Melinda Maynor Lowry, who is a Lumbee Native American historian and filmmaker. And they have had a creative partnership for their entire adult professional lives and deep friendship. And I've always sort of seen me and Anita's relationship in a similar vein. So that's one of my guests.
Oh, that's great. You went right. Very realistic. I was thinking like anyone.
Okay, well, let's do one of those.
An anyone guest.
A dream guest. Come on.
A dream guest. I don't know. I'm like torn. I was having a really interesting conversation with Hannah, who you both know, this weekend about artists of our generation and kind of like what we expect from artists and the people we admire, kind of because they're really vulnerable with us versus people who we admire for their like artistic vision. So I really want to hear Beyonce and Lizzo talk to each other.
I would love that.
So maybe we could have them on together.
Yes.
Because I feel like they have very different approaches to how they bring their personal story into their work, but they're both like just really intriguing performers. Like I want to follow everything they're doing for really different reasons. So we bring the two of them
on. That's a great idea.
And chat with them together. Yeah.
Then I'd just like to add Meghan Markle to the final
list. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Because
Meghan Markle?
Yeah. She's done some. She's like very. She's had kind of an interesting resurgence lately and talking really openly about how she's been treated by the press and being really vulnerable.
Yeah, I've followed that somewhat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Messed up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she has had such a fascinating, like, she was, like, on a game show 10 years ago. You know, she was just, like, the beautiful woman, like, moving the game show into next phases. And now she's literally married to the Prince of England.
Yes.
Divorcee.
Yeah, I know. It must be so interesting how her mom must feel in the royal family, you know, because,
I know.
I mean, even... Yeah, but we won't even go into
And
that.
Her relationship with her dad, so complicated.
Yes. So Meghan Markle is our third
Meghan
and final.
Meghan
Markle. So Cynthia Hill.
Yeah.
Cynthia Hill, Beyonce, Lizzo, and Meghan Markle.
Hey, you covered a lot of bases.
Question, Anita?
Yeah.
Who is Rizzo?
Lizzo. Lizzo, L-I-Z-Z-O.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She is an artist who I'm sure you've probably heard her music. She's actually a classically trained flautist who now is like a hip hop pop artist. And she's like a larger bodied black woman and has been like.
Oh, yes. Now you're saying that.
It
sounds a little familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, and her music is, like, she's just great, and she's a really, really interesting personality, and...
Very empowerment forward.
Yes.
For
good
women and people from all walks of life. All right, Rebecca, what's your question?
I would like to know how y'all have navigated working together for these 70 episodes, and what's that been like? I mean, it's got to be something because you're friends... as well as colleagues, and you have a relationship outside of this. And I'm just curious as to whether that's been challenging. Has it been fun? Has it been stimulating? And I would think maybe it's been all of those things and then some. But I'm wondering about that.
Great question. I think it has been all of those things. I feel like we have grown a lot in our process over the course of the 70 episodes to a place now where I feel like it's much more like our friendship and this work kind of occupy separate spheres a little bit more than they did before, which I think has been really healthy and good. But yeah, I think it's been really challenging, but I feel like it's the way we've navigated it has been a sign and like a lesson for me in like what a mature friendship can look like, which is like you have to have really uncomfortable conversations sometimes, and you have to let the other person know that your feelings are hurt about how they handled something, or that you feel like you're insecure about how you're showing up in the work. And so it's been a really good reminder that, like, friendship has those same kind of ups and downs that, like, intimate relationships have, which I feel like people don't really talk about that much, and it can feel really uncomfortable. But I feel like the show has kind of forced us to have those conversations in a way that maybe we would have avoided them, or let them kind of just sort themselves out without the show.
I think it's been a great mechanism almost to strengthen our friendship.
Yeah.
Because we're making something together that we care deeply about, and that is public facing, and that we, you know, are wanting it to be of quality. But I think because we've had had a lot of different conversations about that, and because we've spent so much time working and building this thing together, which comes with all of the challenges and joys that anytime you're ever working or building on something, be it like a piece of furniture from IKEA or a 70 episode podcast series, it has made it easier, I think, to deepen our friendship. And I would say that it has been like, I feel so secure in both arenas.
Yeah.
And it's been a great touch point for our relationship. And it's been so helpful to work to as we have overlapped those spheres of our lives and then tried to keep them separate. We've created structures to do that well. And that's been a great learning experience and process.
Totally.
And it makes it easier to apply that in other areas of life.
Yes.
Too.
And I think for our friends who are like more long distance, like, it's kind of cool because it's like I feel like we're in conversation with each other and them kind of at the same time. And so it's been a nice way to feel like connected to a broader group of friends together versus like individual one-on-one friendships.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really want to commend y'all on navigating that and producing these 70 episodes. It's got to have been really challenging at times, even if you were not friends. And I think it really speaks to how important this is to both of y'all that you have done that. And my hat's off to you, and I think you've done something really great, and I look forward to the next 70, 140, 210.
Thank you.
When you get Lizzo and Beyonce on,
yes,
I would really like to be in the studio if I could just sit out in the little room.
Okay,
we can accommodate.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll have to get you a social media account, Mom.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be good.
I second everything Rebecca said. You know, you guys have, through, you know, whatever adversity or whatever a day brings, you really made a commitment to the show, to each other, and, you know, risen to whatever challenges they are, which in every walk of life you have, and have produced something to be totally proud of.
Aww.
You know, a legacy already in such a young age. I mean, look at we're your old moms, and we're so proud of you. And I just wished I had something equal. But, you know, whatever you do, what you're doing is giving us joy, and that, you know, giving out more joy in the world, and which is so badly needed. So badly needed. We need good, honest people in the world like you all, and let's just hope we get more. And you know that you're committed. That you're not like, well, you know, I'll just go home and have a glass of wine and I'll watch TV.
Right.
Because you already worked a full day. No, you don't. And you know that's really effort on your part, which does, you know, it shows in the product. And we are exceptionally proud of you. Exceptionally proud of you.
Well, thank y'all.
Thank you very much.
Yellow.
All right. Well, you have just heard the moms, Rebecca and Sheila, and this is our final episode of this season of She and Her. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I need to tell them where they can find us.
You can find us at sheandherradio.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, and
at She and Her Radio.
At She and Her Radio. And we'll be back in the new year with a new season. Stay in touch with us in the meantime on our various social media channels. And
happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Everyone.
Yes.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye, happy moms.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you very much for calling. Take care. We'll
bye.
See you for Thanksgiving.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.